And I'm sure other bag makers are doing the same thing. Because nobody wants to be that guy to get called out and actually be proven that your bags are illegal. And I don't even think there's been any wrongdoing. I just think that our sport is so new and so green that stuff like that can happen. And you learn about it. So,
welcome to Off the Board. In this podcast, professional cornhole players AJ Sims and Jaime Sanchez discuss current events, take your phone calls, and share their insights as pros. So whether you're a casual player or a hardcore fan, tune in and join the conversation. This is Off the Board.
Oh, we're live.
Dude, you guys are killing me.
Hey, what's going on, Buffalo Nation? Hey, we're back again with another episode of Off the Board podcast. I'm your host, AJ Sims. Across from right in front of me, we got the lovely Jaime Sanchez. And to my right, as usual, we got our boy, Anthony Keithley.
What's up, Buffalo Nation?
What's up, fellas?
All right, guys. So we talked. We had a good sit down. We heard everybody's thoughts and comments about, you know, the route Off the Boards was going. So we decided to keep it cornhole. That's what people want. We're going to give the people what they want. So we're gonna look at doing another podcast probably around lunch times on like Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. More information to come on that about the other subjects that we were talking about. But Off the Boards is going to be probably about 90% cornhole related. You know, we'll throw some life in there, but we'll stick to the cornhole stuff.
Hey, and shout out to everybody that reached out. We got some really nice emails about what this show actually means to people and what they're listening to. And it was nice to hear that people are getting stuff out of what we're saying. So, like, ultimately, we want to make sure that message is portrayed. One of the main messages was that people are coming to us, you know, for a release and to learn about cornhole.
Right.
And exactly. To get cornhole information from us. And they look forward to the show. So what we want to do is make sure that we're offering our viewers exactly what they want and what they're looking for and giving the best of us, which is the cornhole knowledge that we have.
Don't worry, I won't be giving the knowledge.
Yeah.
I'm just going to listen.
Yeah.
I'm going to be don't listening and learning
you
myself.
Just listen to AJ and I.
Yeah, so you can listen to Anthony, but just mirror that. Flip that and on what not to do.
What not to do.
Yeah, if he says throw right-handed, then you can throw left-handed because we're still trying to get him to get that opposite hand going.
Hey, you know what? Nobody can help me, all right? I'm a lost cause.
Hey, absolutely, man. So last week we had Eric Verduzco on here, and he was talking about the Pouring the Houston tournament. Did you go to that?
Yeah, I actually did go to that, man. Shout out to Eric again for I know he mentioned it was his fourth or fifth annual. I may have got it corrected, but this was my second time going to this tournament. And obviously, I mean, the tournament was great. I mean, I think he had maybe 25, 30 teams, He had a bunch of people. He had a bunch of supporters. Everybody there, kind of watching, hanging out, just kind of the cornhole family. You know how that goes, man. But yeah, to him, it was a good turnout. First thing that I asked Eric when I arrived Saturday, I was like, "Man, how's the turnout? How's everything going? Everything going smoothly?" And you know, Eric was all enthusiastic and just come out, "Yeah, man, everything's good. Everybody's having a good time." His mind was going left and right, trying to take care of everything. But yeah, good tournament, man. I'm pretty sure the prizes were good. All the packages that he gave out. Competition was good. We had a lot of good players. Had fellow pros. Had shout out to Ricky G. He's San Antonio. He came down, and you had Segura and Boy. So you had some fellow pros and some fellow advanced players. So I mean, it was good. I had a good time. And did you have fun?
It was a good time. I actually played in it. I took ninth. Uh-oh. I took ninth and uppers.
Poor Kevin, man. His partner was Kevin. Kevin.
Hey, you be proud. One game, I threw a 10.
One 10?
No. Hey. That's my average, okay?
Did y'all win that game you threw a 10?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. All right, now you know what you're capable of. Now you got to do that more often.
I know. That's like the hardest part for me is that consistency. Like, I'm waiting for that round when I'm going to throw a 1 or 2. That's the hardest thing for me.
Anthony's still on that level, man. He'll throw 2 rounds of 12, and all of a sudden that 2 and 1. It's just like, dude, who are you?
I lose my focus. I don't know what I like. I overthink it because I'm like, all right, that was 8 in. This one's gonna be 9 in, and then shank it.
All right, Jaime. So you've been playing for a long time, and obviously you and Anthony are two different level of players. So
we're about the same.
Oh, this guy. Hey, here, dude.
That, I mean, that's. Hey, I wish we had a thing that's. Hey, but so, hey, Jaime, y'all obviously two different level of players. So Anthony says consistency is his issue. Like, what do you think? Like, if for people that are back watching us that have that same problem that Anthony have, what would you tell them about like doing stuff to alleviate that consistency?
Alleviate, I mean, it's going to be just as far as confidence. I mean, obviously, I mean, that's anything. But, like, I mean, how we said before, the only way to improve the consistency is just practice. I mean, just practice going over and over, throwing, not getting used to it, but learning from them, throwing them ones and twos. Like Anthony said, I mean, once you start throwing about 8, 9 in a row, now he's worried about, okay, well, I got to throw 10, 11. Right. You know what I mean? So that got to be just the mindset, just the mentally. I mean, just like we talked about as far as this game, I mean, it's more mental than anything else.
Right.
I mean, you just got to get in your head and just kind of just get that grind and get that muscle memory going. That muscle memory is going to be the key to get it from to avoid and not worry about the little things and just throw the bag. I mean, and like, I mean, just started playing with you. One thing that I always remember and I always tell Anthony all the time is as far as what I learned from you is just make this one bag. Regardless if it's the one first bag, the eighth bag, or 30th bag, it's just that make the one bag because the other bags don't matter unless it's a bag in your hand, which Absolutely. Is that one bag making in. So, yeah.
All right, good deal, man. So another thing that we talked about like last week, this being a bad company that we all work for, and we do this podcast that, well, one of the biggest topics last week was the bag controversy.
Right.
So what, I mean, and I'm going to ask you this, guys, is what you're doing. So what is Buffalo did or is planning to do going forward with making sure that their bags are in the parameters? Like, you don't have to say what they did, but just like what's going on with that? Like, so to reassure like people that bags are the size they should be.
Right. Yeah. Anthony, yeah. You want to touch on that? Go.
So we're QCing. So we're not going to QC every set of bags that comes out, but you know, everything here is CNC'd machined. So now we have templates, throughout the shop. So then that way, you know, we're taking bags. We're going to measure before we send them out to customers, just randomly QC bags. And also on occasion, I'm going to take home sets, break them in using bag butter, Buffalo bag butter. Break in the bags and test them there as well. So then that way we're checking throughout the year, you know, making sure, you know, even though it is CNC machine sewn, making sure the consistency is always there. So then that way we're giving everybody the best product that we can.
Hey, absolutely, because you don't want to be that guy. I mean, nobody wants to be that guy to be called out for your bags. And, you know, you don't want to be that company either.
Yeah.
Like it just, I mean, that's our sport took a slap in the face. With some misguided information, but I just want to make sure going forward, like, that everybody's more comfortable. We're all more knowledgeable. The ACL, you know, did a seminar about they're taking a lot of stuff a lot more serious as far as the expectations. They sent out a little chart that they want you to measure it based off the dimensions. And so I think going forward, this will be something that people hadn't really had to think about too much because it's just kind of like we're in the infancy of a sport, but now you're starting to get more technical. It's one of those things that you don't know you need until it happens, mm-hmm. and then now you realize that you need it. So I really like the fact that, you know, Buffalo is doing what they're doing to make sure everything here is doing, and I'm sure other bag makers are doing the same thing because nobody wants to be that guy to get called out and actually be proven that your bags are illegal. And I don't even think there's been any wrongdoing. I just think that our sport is so new and so green that stuff like that can happen, and you learn about it. So I think that's great.
Wait, Jen, let me ask you a question. What do you think the bag should be measured brand new or after broken in?
See, that's the thing.
I mean, because like I said, everybody has their own method of breaking in, and obviously when you break it in, the material that, I mean, the carpet or whatever, non-carpet, whatever bag you're throwing, obviously it's going to flatten out. So the corners are going to be a little bit wider than actually new. So, I mean, what do you think? Should it be just the new, or should it be once the bags are broken in?
So the way I look at it, I think your bag should pass both phases.
Both phases?
So that you don't have to worry about it. I just make a little wiggle room and dimension so that they're good new and they're good broken in, because there's some people that may have to throw the bag new.
Right.
So it needs to be legal there. There's some people that's going to throw the bag really broken in. It needs to still be in the, you know what I'm saying? It should be meet the parameters of exactly what you need. So in my opinion, yes, I don't know if that's possible. I don't know how much a bag breaks down based off your usage.
Right.
Because that's the other hard thing to take into account is, you know, if you're playing on great conditions, great boards, great turf, you know, the bag's in the perfect conditions, you know, that bag's going to have a lot more longevity. But if you're playing on concrete every day and on the dirt, you know, that material, no matter how strong that material is, it's going to separate and separate and separate. Yeah. So it's going to change that bag from a bag that you're throwing. So that's where I think ACL needs to kind of tweak the verbiage just a little bit. Like, you have guidelines, but there should be allowances, I think, in there.
And I think if you look at it, it is certain close allowances. Mm-hmm. I think it's the obvious things. If you're way over the measurement line, then yeah, you're probably going to get hit. If you're way under it, you're exactly. probably going to get hit, because we're playing with cloth. We're playing with stuff that's going to break down, yeah. you know? So, but again, I can't say, because this is the first of these conversations.
Right.
I just know that for sure your bag should always be legal no matter what. You should have legal bags at all costs, you know, and I think just doing it to where if it's new or broken in, it should not move as much. If the bags you're making are breaking down that much to where now they're illegal, then maybe people, their shelf life is only going to be, you know, a couple months, a couple tournaments.
Yeah.
Which you don't want to do that for a business and sales, because I can just imagine if
you say this
bag. You buy these bags, but you only can have them for 2 months. I ain't buying those bags. You know, I need to buy bags. That's going to be, you know, something for a year. So, but I mean, like I said, it's a good question. It's a good topic for us to talk about and discuss. I also know the ACL changed rules about timeouts. In doubles, you're allowed 4 timeouts now.
That's crazy. 4.
Yeah, but the reason being is because they're going to hold you to the 12-second shot clock.
Okay.
So what I saw yesterday is that in the 12-second shot clock, if you go above that, somebody's going to be there and say, you have lost one of your timeouts.
Really?
There's no warnings. There's no nothing.
It's just kind of just
now,
bam. Yeah.
You now have 3 timeouts, just like that. And that's why they give you more, because they want people to talk. They want to have those conversations.
Right.
But keep it within the parameters of the rules. 12 seconds is 12 seconds. So you use your timeouts. You get 4 opportunities to talk to your opponent longer than the 12 seconds variance are allowed, you know. And that's it. So, like, I think that's a good rule change. And another one was, I mean, with some, like I said, we got some pretty good rules in there.
Is it changing on the singles? Sorry, Anthony. Is it changing on the singles as well? Because I know the singles was.
I think singles was 2.
2, right, yeah. Is that changing or is that still the same?
I think singles is 3. I think you might have got 1 timeout extra for singles.
See, I wonder how that works. And I mean, like I said, maybe I'm thinking outside the box, but like, say we're playing singles, right? And we're walking to the other side. So if I step out to get a drink or something, Is that considered a timeout? Or even if I got first bag, like when did that 12-second shot clock actually start? Like when I grab my bags or as soon
when
as...
you cross the end of the mat?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Or as soon as like one person is ready on the board, okay, well, all right, that's where it starts. Like, you know what I'm saying?
So I think it starts as soon as... It's almost like the football, whenever you start and they set the ball.
Yeah.
And that's when the shot clock starts. I mean, the play clock. I think it's the same thing. Whenever you pick those bags out of the board and you're both facing the front, I think that's when it starts. Now, if you have someone that's taking obvious, you know, time to not throw, like, I think you can start that as, like, their reasonable shot clock. I can't say that for certain because, right. like, most of the time, I'm not a shot clock calling person.
Yeah, me neither.
Unless you got those long throws. I mean, I'm sorry. We all know we got a couple. We got you got the Damon Dennis's of the world.
Yeah.
You know, I love the guy to death. Man, he takes a long time. Matt Guy takes a while.
Yeah.
You got a lot of guys like that who just take a long time to throw. And I already know it's going to be a long game. Not just because of, you know, them playing slower, but they take a lot longer to throw.
Right.
So, and like Eddie, that's my boy, you know. But Eddie, you know, he likes to play me slow. He thinks it bothers me.
You know, so, can't do that no more.
I mean, he can, but as long as he stay within 12
seconds.
12
seconds, yeah. 12 seconds come like that, man.
I mean, yeah. 12 seconds, is, but now games are going to go a lot faster.
Right.
You know, I play fast already anyway, so to me, this rule benefits me. I seriously doubt I've ever taken, unless it's me talking to my opponent, ever taken over like 6 or 7 seconds to throw a bag.
Right.
I like to throw right away. So that's kind of my thing. So the rules, I mean, I think it's a good change for the game and where the game is going to go to be able to tighten a lot of this stuff up because we don't have rules. And you never know. These rules only come about when stuff happens. So it's kind of good that, like, all, you know, publicity, they say bad publicity isn't, you know, good publicity. But at the same time, our sport's being talked about on the Wall Street Journal and Good Morning America stuff like that,
yeah.
Which means it's noteworthy. I was watching TV today, and they were talking about a basketball game, and they was like, somebody's owning a pickleball team. And they was like, I never thought I'd see pickleball on ESPN. But it was like, you also now see cornhole actively on ESPN. So I just think it grows every single year. I'm excited in the direction that it's going, and I'm happy about the ACL and what they're doing with, you know, incorporating stuff like that.
And these tournaments don't go in effect till next year, correct?
Yeah, tournaments don't go in effect till next year.
These rules and all that.
Yeah, okay. Well, I mean, the rules for the Opens, I think, are already
set.
Yeah, rules for the Opens are already set. And we have these seminars every week, so we find out more stuff. But I mean, everything I've heard is great. They're not going to be as lenient as they are on a lot of the other stuff. You know,
right.
You got to be prepared as a pro and a professional to make sure you have ESPN approved bags.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be on you, and I agree with that. You know, I agree. You got to be prepared. You know what we're coming here to do. You know what can happen. So you have to make sure you have everything that you need. But this for all cornhole players out there, we don't only just have, you know, ACL tournaments. You know, cornhole is big enough to where we're having tournaments just all over the place.
Every day's a week now.
And we mentioned Portland and Houston last week was a tournament that we had local. But there's another big tournament that's coming up.
Yeah.
Like, what tournament is that, AJ?
I mean, it's the 2022 Buffalo Cash Bash. And before
23.
Oh,
23. Yeah, it'll be next year.
23.
It's technically, it'll be another next year.
Yeah. You know, it's 2022 right now. But you're right, it's 23. 2023 Cash Bash. My bad. I'm still mad about the one I didn't go to. So I guess I'm trying to go back and get that one.
Yeah. For you, it's your first annual.
Yeah,
it's your first one.
It is my first one, but man, that's the one tournament that I heard about from the time it happened all the way till now.
Yeah.
When's the next Cash Bash gonna be?
Mm-hmm.
When are we gonna have that again? And I'm like, man, I just wish I was there. I had to look at that big $4,000 check that Josh had just sitting, and he has still in his shop, just on his wall. Every time I go to his house,
it's
just
right
a
there,
reminder
yeah.
that I had to work and I wasn't able to be there. But guess what? I don't have to work this year. But before we get into the 2023, let's talk about the 2022 Cash Bash and like everything that happened, how it was, and like how that tournament was then. And then basically we can talk about how the tournament's going to be.
Right.
Yeah. So let's start out with that one. How was the tournament last year?
Last year was obviously it was something new that we never did. I mean, something that we wanted to do. Like I said, Raul and Billy, I mean, they were big things as far as talking about getting the tournament on. And first of all, I was wondering, okay, where we're going to have it at. First, we were trying to get locations. And I think Billy was like, man, we can just do it outside in the parking lot. We're like, meh. I mean, at ours, like, just looking at it, I was like, I don't think it's going to be big enough. It turned out we had plenty of room. And then we had about, what, maybe 30 sets of boards out there?
I think 30, 35.
Yeah, we had about 30, 35 sets of boards, and we had about maybe 80 teams, 80-something teams. So it was fun. Obviously, it was nerve-wracking because we didn't know what we were getting ourselves into. But, I mean, it was good. It was just crazy just seeing the amount of people that we had. I mean, I think we had one board where all the pros that we had, which I believe we had maybe 10 to 15 pros, and they all signed the pros. I mean, we had pros coming from, we had Hadley and
Zap.
Yeah, from California. Then we even had Humans and Cobb, so Mississippi and New Hampshire. Is that where Humans is from?
Yeah.
Connecticut?
Yeah,
up
Connecticut.
In there. Yeah.
Yeah, somewhere around there.
Yeah, so, I mean, we had pros, I mean, locally and out of state, and all the advanced players and all the, we had, what, three divisions?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it was just, it was cool. Well, one thing though, when we first started, we were nervous about what Houston weather is. We were gonna get a good day. I mean, that was just like the main thing. It's like, okay, we got to get a good day.
Because it was like kind of stormy the day before.
The day before, yeah. I think two days before it rained, and I was like, oh man, we're gonna be in trouble if it rained that day.
Right.
Good thing God blessed us, and we had a perfect day. Wasn't hot, wasn't cold. It was just a good day. I mean, we had a bunch. Like Anthony came out from Nevada. We had Mike Grimaldo, which is our main ambassador then, which is still now. I mean, we had his input. He came down here, and Anthony, if I'm missing anybody else that came down here.
Chris came down.
Chris Lambert, yeah. Yep. Yeah, so we had Chris Lambert come down there, and man, it was a good time. It was a long day, long day. We were still trying to, at the time, trying to figure out, okay, well, what are we going to do? Are we going to do blind draw, singles? One thing that we did do last year that we are doing this year is the blind draw, because we had a bunch of people. We had a bunch of people from out of town coming in Friday and be like, hey, is there going to be a blind draw? It's just like, we didn't think we were going to have the want and the curiosity right. of people, hey, let's do a blind draw.
Right.
That's one thing that we regretted. We should have had a blind draw that Friday night, because a lot of people ended up reached out and were interested and wanted to play in a blind draw. So we did the doubles. We did doubles. We started around like 9, 10 a.m., something like that. We did doubles. We had the novice, competitive, and advanced. Three different levels. But I mean, it was good. It was fun. I had a blast. Anthony had fun. Everybody that came down here, we got input. We got feedback from everybody. So that just kind of helped us looking forward to this year. I mean, this year is going to be even bigger.
All right. Before we get to this year, what was the first place payout for? Tier one last year.
Tier one, first place was
4,000.
Yeah, yep. 4,000. I'm not sure what the second place and third place. I know in the competitive, we paid out cash, and then like second and third place was boards and radars.
Yep.
And then in the novice, I want to say maybe first place was radar and boards, and it went down to like bags, two sets of bags.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that, Anthony, remember?
Yeah, I think it was bags and airmail box. The roadsters and radars.
Man, good deal. So we had a tournament like that, and that was a huge tournament for this area to be able to pay out 4,000 first place, and we had people come from all over, like pros come, and I heard about it. Reason being is because I was supposed to play with Josh as my partner.
Yeah.
Ended up having to work. So Josh and Eddie, who's the friends, you know what I'm saying? Everybody knows we're like three amigos. We all together. So they ended up playing together, and they actually won it. So to be able to, you know, to keep that. I mean, it's bittersweet for me because if I'm playing, I'm winning it, you
right.
know. But they ended up playing and they win it. They won it. They ended up playing and they won it. So, man, so that's great to be able to hold that and keep that in Texas with the caliber of players that actually showed up to that mm-hmm. cash bash. And that solidifies, let you know what type of tournament it is. You got people coming from man, what am I doing? You got people coming from Connecticut and New Hampshire.
Yeah, all over.
And Louisiana, Mississippi. You had people come from California, Arizona, and Texas. And Texas was able to represent and win that tournament. But so let's go ahead and stream forward to this year, because last year's Cash Bash was amazing.
Right.
Like, I heard it was amazing. The vendors, the food, everything was great, and it was played outside.
Yeah.
But we got a special treat for this one.
Yes, sir.
Like, this is one of the nicest hotels in the area, one of the most scenic views, it's nice. And I know just because I stayed at the hotel probably a month ago, you know, for a week at a conference with work, and I just love it, man. You got indoor pool, you got outdoor pool.
Oh, wow.
I know it's January, but still, you know, you got hot tub, you got just, you know, nice everything on the beach to
right.
be able to eat, you know, it's a nice attraction.
Yeah.
And we're going to Galveston, Texas at Moody Gardens.
Moody Gardens, yep.
And it is indoors, so an indoor facility. Just imagine, we had people coming, pros coming from all over to play outside, not knowing what the weather was going to be, and they were able to come for $4,000 for the top prize. And this year, we've increased that.
Right.
So not only increased the venue, but we've increased how much we're paying for this tournament. So to me, it definitely want to come out.
Right.
You definitely want to come out, because this is going to be something that's going to be talked about for a while. I've been to Moody Gardens multiple times, and I've always wanted, man, I just imagine if there was a cornhole tournament here. It would be amazing. Well, guess what? Now it's perfect. You got a really nice convention center. You got really, parking is so close. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's really clean. It's really neat. The food is great. And everything is in proximity to the beach. Man, it's a beautiful place. So the fact that 2023 Cash Bash is in Galveston at Moody Gardens, man, I think it's amazing. That kind of speaks for itself. What do you think this year is like, it's going to be like, Anthony, with it being at Moody Gardens inside?
So, thankfully, we're going to go this weekend and actually scope out and do a site recon on Moody Gardens to see exactly, you know, what we're in for. So, we're actually going to have the full convention center for us. And then I heard the hotel that we have the discounted rate for is right next to it.
Yeah, it's right there. It's like, so, you can walk, like, right, I mean, yeah, it's like connected to it. Yeah. Like, it's, I was just there, like, and I could do
a site visit there,
for you because I was just there.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
I'm so excited.
I mean, it's right there. Everything is close. This is, like, I love tournaments where the host hotel is connected to the convention center.
Exactly.
It's so amazing. It saves you money right there with having to be able to Uber. You know, to be able to get to
a venue. Find a ride from somebody.
To be able to find a ride from somebody. You stay here at a discounted rate, and you get to play cornhole at the venue.
Yeah.
You get to wake up. You get so this is what I like to talk about, because we can talk about the Cash Bash.
Right, right.
And the beauty of having a tournament that is on-site.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because you get to save money with Uber. Mm-hmm. You also get to sleep in.
Mm-hmm.
You also can stay out late. And then walk across the street. It's safer.
Right.
You know, if you happen to have a couple of alcoholic beverages at the event, you're just a couple steps away.
You got to worry about driving,
Yeah, so I'm happy that Billy made the decision. You know, Billy and JJ got together to make the decision to be able to make this a great opportunity, make it safe and fun, and create like a little oasis out of it, a little vacation, a little home away from home, while we're having a great tournament with great conditions, great pay. And, you know, so to me, I'm super excited about this tournament. It's also a tune-up for a national. Like, we got a national, like, a couple weeks away from that.
Right.
So to be able to have that type of national feel, because that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's a national-type feel in a convention center the size that we play national tournaments at. In a hotel, like, we stay at national, you know, at national tournaments at. So I'm super excited to be able to, you know, go to this Cash Bash. And
so we'll be actually making... we talked about it today. We're going to be making 50 sets of boards just for the event.
Yeah.
So they'll be like just designed for the event, and they'll be special just for the Cash Bash.
And I'm sure you have the opportunity to buy those off the floor.
Yeah, yes, sir.
We did that last year, so we'll definitely do that again this year. We've already confirmed with Billy. So the boards that you actually will be playing on the Cash Bash, they will go on sale. Not sure on the prices. Like I said, Billy will get together and Billy will determine what he's going to make the prices for, but they will be at a discounted rate. So the boards that you actually play on at the Cash Bash, come that Saturday night, you can walk home, go home with them. But yeah, like AJ touching on that Moody Gardens, I mean, one thing, it's family oriented. So it's a vacation where you can bring your family, because Moody Gardens has a bunch of stuff to do for the kids. So not just cornhole. I mean, obviously cornhole be during the day, but at night there's a bunch of stuff to do for your, for the family. So those are those cornhole players that have family, man, more than welcome to bring your kids, bring the whole family, and just make it a weekend thing. Just to get the scenic route of Moody Gardens, and then just kind of Galveston, Texas. I mean, Galveston Seawall's not too far down the street from Moody Gardens. So, I mean, you got plenty of options to just kind of make it a weekend thing. But, yeah, I mean, we're looking forward to all the help that we got. I mean, don't want to miss out. Last year, Chris Patino and Jonathan Ibarra from South Texas Cornhole, they were two major big factors that helped us with the whole tablets, getting it on Scoholio, getting the tournaments run at a fast pace. I mean, nothing, no problems as far as just the internet connections. So this year we're looking for, shout out to Jonathan Ibarra. We're trying to get him to come out here again to help us out again. So cross our fingers, he'll be down here again to help us run this tournament so it can go smooth and then just even make it even bigger than last year.
Right, so for the people that let's get a rundown of what it's actually going to look like. So Friday night, you got a blind draw.
Yeah.
Even before that, before people have a blind draw, like, where can people go to register? Like, right now, for people that don't know, people are back home, where can they go right now to register? And what are the prices on registrations and stuff like that?
So everything right now is on Eventbrite. So you could purchase everything on Eventbrite. You're going to be able to pay for your event. Just so everybody knows, it is going to be you yourself paying for it. It's not as a team. It's you individually because you're actually able to buy bundles. The bundles include, if you pre-order now, you can get the wristband, hat, custom jersey with your name on it, custom tumbler with the bundle, and it'll also include your event registration.
And a hat.
And a hat as well. And that's all going to be for, because we right now have the early bird. The early bird is good until
November 21st.
Correct. November 21st. And then it goes into full price after that. We also are doing an early bird for the vendors as well.
Right.
The early bird for the vendors is going to be $550. That includes both days, so Friday and Saturday. We're figuring out right now when we do our walkthrough exactly the logistics for the vendors, but it will include a table and two chairs.
Well, so I didn't hear that part. You said that there would be an early bird for the people that are paying for it. What is the price again for the that's due by 11/21?
So just if you're just buying the event registration, it's $100.
No. It's $50.
It's $50. Sorry, I said misspoke. It's $50 per person, so it's going to be $100 for the team.
For the team.
For the pre-register, and then $60 regular price, $120 for the team. Okay. If you're just buying it individually.
Okay, and the vendors, you said it'll be $550?
$550 for early bird, $650 regular after that.
Yeah, after that November 21st. Okay. And then the discounted rate, and then that bundle will go all the way, that you'll get that VIP bundle that Anthony was mentioning, all the way up to December 15th, 22. So the early bird discount rate is November 21st, and then to get the VIP, which is the bundle, to get a discount on all the bundle as well as the entry fee, I mean, that's going to end December 15th, right?
And that just makes it so then that we have time to make the custom jerseys for everybody.
Yeah, because the custom jerseys, you will be able to have just your last name on the back. So just want to make sure that people are aware that the custom jersey will come with your last name on the back.
So the entry fee is just for the rounders on Saturday. It does not include the blind draw. The blind draw Friday is going to be $20. Friday blind draw is going to be $20, and it's going to be 100% payout.
Okay, so is it two levels on the blind draw? Is that going to be?
Yes, we're going to do a pro and advanced and a competitive and novice, just so then that way it can separate you guys. You know, I do want to throw against you guys, so I'm going to go up.
All right, good deal. Okay, so for anybody that's coming to the tournament, and this may be their first tournament, will it be bags available for people to purchase or borrow to be able to throw in a tournament? And what bags are approved for this tournament?
This one's going to be all the 2023 bags. I know it's not open, but, I mean, we're going to follow those rules. All the ACL bags, 2023. We will have bags to sell as well as boards, radar, pretty much all the apparel that we have. We will have our own little booth there to sell. I'm sure we can have bags there that are broken in to give people get an idea of how they're going to play once they get broken in. So we'll definitely have that for you, those that, I mean, obviously everybody should have their bags, but just in case for whatnot, I mean, we'll have bags there on site as well as all the apparel.
And hopefully we can get some other bag manufacturers. This is, the vendors is open for everybody. So hopefully other bag manufacturers want to come. It's fully open. Board manufacturers, apparel. We love everybody, so everybody come.
Yeah, we want the whole cornhole community and family out there just kind of having a good time throwing bags. And then just kind of supporting and representing each other and helping each other out in any way that we can that day. So it's not only just a tournament, it's just another day for the whole cornhole community to come together and just kind of support and have a good time like always at all of our tournaments that we usually have around here.
And one thing I do want to make point of, we are going to be running Scoreholio. So it won't be on the ACL platform or anything like that. We're going to be using Scoreholio.
All right, so like I said, I mean, just what AJ was touching on, just on the schedule, like I said, I mean, this is a tentative. Hopefully it'll be sure, but if it changes, we're looking at Friday, January the 20th. We're trying to get where the vendors can try to get in about 2 p.m. So they have plenty of time to set up as far as all their apparel, get their stations going. We're going to have the boards are going to open at 5 o'clock. p.m. that Friday, and the blind draw is going to start at 7 p.m. Like Anthony said, that's going to be based off the ACL profile and Scorjolio. That's going to determine on, we're going to use Scorjolio SPR to determine on your pro advanced and competitive novice. I mean, we want to be sure that everybody's playing at the level. Obviously, like Anthony said, I mean, everybody wants to play against the pros and all that, but I mean,
sandbagging, man.
Yeah, I mean, and we've learned from other tournaments, and AJ, you probably, you know this just as well. We've learned at other tournaments that it's just, I mean, just kind of keep people true and play at their level, and just, and go from that. I mean, worst case, if the blind draw finishes earlier, then maybe we can have open blind draw afterward where you can have the opportunity to play against, play with the pro or even against a pro. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be Friday. Saturday, again, we're looking at the board's going to open at 8 a.m., and then it's going to be rounders. So last year we didn't do that. Last year we just did it four different divisions that just kind of played out. So this year it's going to be what obviously everybody's been kind of, should be used to. A lot of the regionals now, a lot of the regional directors are doing them in rounders format, just like the opens. So we're going to have rounders, which is going to consist of five rounds. That's going to start at 9 a.m. Again, it's going to be doubles. We're looking at five rounds, usually 5 hours. We're looking at possibly starting around maybe 1 o'clock or 2 p.m. We're going to do the bracket play, and it's going to be, it's going to fall into three tiers. Again, it's going to be your record will determine on what tier you you end up in. So we'll have tier one, tier two, and tier three. Each tiers we're going to have it designated. And that was one reason why we did it on Scorjolio, because we were told that it was easier to designate certain boards through certain tiers. So we'll have three different tournaments in Scorjolio set up. Tier 1 is going to be designed for 1 through 10, just for example. Tier 2 is going to be 11 through 20. And then Tier 3 will be 21 through 30. Obviously, we'll have more boards, but, I mean, just to kind of give you an idea. So that's going to go at 2 o'clock. And we're looking at hopefully around maybe 7 to 8 p.m. if people still hanging around. We're gonna have a big blind draw there. That's what we'll just be open. We'll have a big blind draw that starts around 8 o'clock. In between that, possibly, I know Anthony and I were talking about, we're gonna have possibly some sit and goes. And we know it's some opens where people are just kind of waiting around. Sit and goes, everybody loves to play in sit and goes, just kind of give them reason just to play and obviously win some money. I mean, there's some people that I know that win a couple $100 just playing strictly sit and goes.
They pay for the whole event just from playing sit and goes.
Yeah, Eric Verduzco, that guy played, man, that guy would play sit and goes all day if he could, but. So, I mean, like I said, that's the tentative schedule that we're trying to look at right now as far as Friday and Saturday. Anthony, did I miss anything, man? Just to make sure that...
It is free entry for spectators and the general public. So your family can come in to watch. They don't have to pay anything to enter the event center.
Hey, we will have live courts, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Live stream. So we will have live stream going for people that want to watch. But also, this is the opportunity, you know, to come represent your sponsors and be on live stream. And we're thinking, like I said, would it be 80 teams on the one we had last year outside, kind of thrown together? This one more prepared, more detailed, and a
bigger payout.
Bigger payout and a nicer facility. We expecting more teams than 80. So just make sure you get it in early, because we would hate to have to cap it and you not be able to get in because you didn't register in time. But let's go through the payouts again.
Yeah, definitely. Like AJ said, we want you to just pre-register, because it just makes it easier on us. It's easier on us to have an idea of how many people, how many players we're going to have an idea how many boards we need. I mean, like Anthony said, we're going to go this weekend to kind of observe the place to get an idea of how many boards we can actually set up, as well as vendors. I mean, we don't have a limit on vendors. If we get 10 vendors, if we could fit 20 vendors, we would love to have 20 different vendors out there. Just give more people an opportunity to see the different products in person. I mean, I know everybody likes to shop online, but I mean, when you have in person, you can actually fill the bags, try on the shirt. So it's a lot better, more convenient for those. Another thing that I want to mention before I get into payouts is, I know a couple people have been asking about, is the room rate. Right now we have the Moody Garden rooms, we have the rate is $159 a night. Again, and that's going to go that expires on December 29th, 22. So make sure you reserve your rooms. Again, it's $159 a night, and that expires on December 29th, 22. All right, now for the payouts, again, This is going to be tentative depending on how many teams we actually get. But one thing for sure that's not going to change is Tier 1 first place prize is going to be $5,000 this year. So it's going to be $1,000 more than last year. So Tier 1 first place will be $5,000. Second place in Tier 1 will be $2,500. And then third place in Tier 1 is going to be $1,250. So, I mean, if 4,000 was, I mean, if that got your curiosity and wanted you to come down here, then 5,000 should do for, even more players.
For an indoor event as well.
Exactly, yeah. So you don't have to worry about playing in the rain or anything like that. We know this event is a go for sure. We ain't got to worry about weather or anything like that. So, I mean, that's a good thing this year that we don't have to worry about like we did last year. In Tier 2 is going to be, first place is going to be $1,300. Second place is going to be $650. And then third place is going to be $325. And then Tier 3, first place is going to be $500. Second place will be $250. And then third place will be $125. Again, guys, like I said, this is tentative. This is going to be dependent on how many teams. I mean, obviously, we want as many teams as possible. I mean, obviously, we want to exceed more, I mean, than 100 teams. I mean, if we're able to get, like AJ said, if we're able to get 80 at an outside tournament, I mean, hopefully, we should be able to get double that or close to it for an indoor event. So, let me just kind of look over and make sure. Like Anthony said, Friday, that's 100% payout on the blind draw. If we do the big blind draw Saturday night, that'll be probably $20, and then we'll probably just take it on site as far as cash and all that just to get that going. So we didn't kind of put that on there because we're not too sure if we're going to have time. Hopefully we will, but, I mean, we'll know once we'll see how the doubles and rounders go.
And how many people sign up as well.
Right. So, I mean, we're happy. We're excited. We're looking forward to it. Obviously, as well with the prize packages, I mean, there's money. Obviously, you can win prizes. I mean, there'd be plenty of vendors where you can use that money and buy all sorts of cornhole accessories, cornhole apparel, even bags. So, we're hoping to have plenty of vendors out there so you can use all that winning money and spend it out and give it out to that vendors. Anthony, is there anything I missed, man?
No, I think you covered it all. I just have a question for AJ. AJ,
what you got?
Do you see many indoor events that the payout's almost $12,000?
I really don't, man. To be honest, it's pretty nice payout, especially around for this area. Payouts have been getting better around, you know, in certain places, but you're really not seeing those unless you're seeing, like, state championships or, like, top championships. So to be able to just have a cash bash and it's a big money tournament to be able to win $5,000, I mean, that's a lot. That's a huge payout. So I know when I see those, the first thing I'm looking at is flights to see how I can get there. You know.
Now, I do have a question because, you know, not everybody knows where Moody Garden is or how far that is from, like, the nearest airport. Can one of you guys give insight on that?
I believe the closest airport is Hobby Airport, and that's about maybe 40.
It's about 35, 45 minutes.
Yeah, 30, 45 minutes, just depending on what traffic. So it's not far at all. I know the other airport is Intercontinental. That one's a little bit further out.
Yeah, that one's about probably an hour and 15.
Yeah, hour and 15. So, I mean, flight-wise, guys, I mean, I would recommend try to fly into Hobby. It'd be a lot closer, especially if you're Ubering. Yeah, the Uber's going to be a lot cheaper going from Hobby than from Intercontinental, because Intercontinental's pretty much, like I said, on the other side of Houston for us. Trying to think anything, guys, if there's something that we missed or something that you got any questions, like I said, let us know, comment on the live now, or if anything, you can send me and Anthony an email or send it to Buffalo Boards. We'll be sure to answer any questions, but we're trying to, hopefully we answered everything.
Hey guys, can you hear me right now? My mic is live or not? Anthony, can you see the questions on the iPad or not?
Yeah, I can see them.
Okay, there's a bunch of questions that I think would be great.
Okay,
all
right.
We can address them so that people, you know, sort of like get all the information.
Okay. All right, so cool. We're going to open it up now for questions. We got a few questions. Anthony, can you read the questions off?
Yeah. How do you register a partner, or is that done day of? So your partner you can sign up your partner on Eventbrite as well to pay for the event, and we all are going to open up the Scoreholio as well. So you'll have to register under the Scoreholio, and then we will mark it as paid as you pay with Eventbrite. So we'll double check those.
Is there a link like that you can go to on our Buffalo page?
Yes, we'll be publishing that.
We'll have a link. And then whenever you do the invite, you're going to need your Scorjolio name, correct?
Correct. We'll need your Scorjolio name and email just so then that way we can verify when you do your Eventbrite. Because a lot of people, you know, you'll have a weird name in Scorjolio and a weird email that doesn't match up with what you normally use.
Right.
All right. What are the questions we got?
Let's see.
And sorry to touch back on that. So I guess, like, people, like, probably what they're confused is that in the sense that when they're registering, they can only see that it's one person at a time. So when you're registering, let's say you go and register, right? Let's say I go and pay for my registration, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then my partner is Andrea right here, and she goes and pays for hers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do we get to say that we're partners on the Scorjolio app? Is that how it works?
Yes.
Yes, yeah. It'll give you a section on there where you'll say who your partner is, and that's where you'll put that information in there.
Perfect. So, I just wanted to touch on that one more time for the people, because we keep getting questions about that. So the whole reason why we're doing it separately is so you can actually decide if you want to get the bundle or not.
Right, yeah.
Because let's say I want to get the bundle, but my partner Andrea, she doesn't want to. I can actually pay for $145, and then she can pay for the just the $50 rate, you know?
Right,
yeah. So that's the reason why we did it like that. And then after everybody's registered, you have your separate registration, but then you can set up as teammates once you get to the Scorjolio app.
Oh, perfect. Mm-hmm. Like a two-part verification.
Yeah, two-part verification. And on the Eventbrite, like I said, it'll give a list when you pay and as far as who's paid and all that, and it'll give us an idea, like I mentioned earlier, with the Scorjolio SPR. We can go in there and check and make sure that you're playing at the right level. You're supposed to be playing. So, I mean, if we haven't had the question, we can reach out to you personally and just let you know as far as if we had to make a change or if we had any questions.
Are we generating an email once people register, like, hey, you have been registered, or does Eventbrite do that?
Yeah, Eventbrite sends them like a confirmation email.
Okay, gotcha.
Like, because they'll put their email and it'll send them a confirmation email letting them know that, hey, like, I think it actually says, hey, you're going to the 23 Buffalo Cash Bash or something like that.
Perfect.
Yeah, so in the email, they get everything. So sort of to touch on that again. Once you are registering, the application itself is going to ask you to type in your Scorjolio username, your Scorjolio email. And then with your registration, you get all of the information that you like registering, all of the information you need to like sort of like get set up. And then you also get the link to the hotel.
To the hotel.
That's also
perfect.
Important. Because that link is not available publicly. It's only, you only get it once you're registered.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
Good deal.
So you have to register before you can get your hotel room.
Yeah, exactly.
And get that rate of $159 a night. Yeah.
Oh, man, I was trying to get the hotel. Maybe not.
I read your mind, AJ.
Hey,
we got
any more questions on there?
Brendan Hostetler said, okay, AJ Sims, I'm going to go ahead and pay for you and I for our entry for our team.
Let's go. Do
He's
it.
Got you.
Let's do it. I think they'll let me play on two teams. Let's try it.
Yeah. No.
Nothing else is our tournament, so I'm sure Billy will pull some strings for me.
Oh, yeah. This would be the one tournament to do it at.
I mean, we'll play novice in that tournament.
Oh, this guy here.
Let's see.
There's another question from Joshua Tapp. He said, does that include all events?
Yeah, it does not include all events. It's right. Just going to be the doubles.
Yeah, just the Saturday portion. Yeah.
The rounders. The five rounds of rounders and the doubles.
Yeah, so it's a guaranteed seven games on Saturday. But yeah, Friday's like instrument, the blind draw is completely separate.
And that's on site. So that's on site.
Yeah. Yeah.
Payment for the blind draw is on site. And the tickets you're purchasing is for the main event.
Yeah, main event. Yeah. The only thing that's separate for that we'll take on site, like AJ said, is the blind draw Friday. And if we do that big blind draw Saturday afterward, that'll be done on site where we'll just take cash or anything and do it there. And then those two will be 100% payout. Obviously the sit and goes, I mean, we'll set that up. So obviously that's going to be on site as well.
And 100% payout on that.
Right.
As well.
Yeah. Right.
Winner takes all.
Hey, there you go. I mean, yeah.
We got any more?
Let's see.
Yeah. I have another from Sydney Buick. And I think she was one of the first people, if I'm not mistaken, that had already registered for the VIP. And So the VIP registration was updated recently. As of today and like as of yesterday too. Once you register with the VIP bundle, automatically it asks you for your size and the name that you want on the jersey.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
For the first few people, I think it was like the first 7 people that registered. We didn't have that set up yet, but you should check your email because I actually sent an email to each and every one of you asking you for the size and the name that you want on it. So if you're one of the first people to register, make sure you check your inbox so you can sort of get on board with the sizes for the jerseys and all of that.
Mike Grimaldo, you will not beat me ever in cornhole. So
what did you say?
He said, my only question is, how much will I win for beating Anthony Keithley?
First of all, that's bullying because that's easy to beat. So, Mike, I mean, we got to know if you're past Ghost 9 at this point. You're playing 8.
No.
He was playing 8. I don't know. If you beat 8, you'll beat Anthony 21-0.
Hey, are you going to, Mike, are you going to spot Anthony some points? That's another thing.
Oh, man.
That's hurtful. You guys have no faith in me. Mike's just lucky I'm going to be running it, you know.
This guy.
Good dude. Right,
what other questions you got?
Is there any more questions, anybody? JJ, did I miss anybody?
I don't think, I think that's it, man.
Hey, good deal.
I'm sorry looking at here, but yeah, I think that's it. I'm going to take YouTube really quick.
Want to reiterate real fast that this is the 2023 Buffalo Cash Bash, one of the biggest tournaments this year. We'll do it annually every year, and every year we're trying to increase the tournament. And we went from 80 people on the outside venue to one of the best, nice venues in Texas on the beach with the great hotel and great accommodations around for kids. So you won't want to miss this tournament. So just want to reiterate, man, please get that registration in early because I would hate for people to say, oh, man, I was trying to get in and it got too late. It's cheaper to get in now, and it guarantees your spot to get in now. So go ahead and get in. I'm getting in, you know, already. I'll probably get in today. I haven't registered yet, but I will be registering right after this, you know, so I can get my discount.
And also, I think if you can go through the prices of registration, they're asking again for the prices. Okay. Just go through every price, all the bundles and all of that.
All right. So the price for pre-registration per person is $50. After pre-registration is over, it will be $60. The bundle will include a wristband for the pre-registration, wristband, hat, jersey, and tumbler as the VIP package. And it'll be fully customized for the jersey. And the price is going to be $75 additional, so it'll be $125.
Okay, great.
Right, and remember that $50 registration is per person.
Per person.
And the bundle's also per person. So each person is responsible for their ticket, and then you'll go through again to do a two-party verification on Scoreholio. And the first part is get your tickets at Eventbrite. Once you go to Eventbrite, then that's when the hotel hotel link will pop up, and you'll be able to get the discounted rate in the hotel. These hotels cost a lot more than what we're getting, so you're getting a really good deal, able to stay at a really nice hotel
for $159 a night.
For $159 right. a night on the beach, in close proximity to all the attractions. So,
yeah,
it's going to be a great tournament. Reminder, vendors, please get in. You have until
November 21st,
at the end of this year to be able to get in. And if you get in, it's a discounted price. You save $100 if you go ahead and get in now.
So till November 21st, they can still register after November 21st, but that's the regular rate. Okay?
Yeah.
So basically, all of the rates right now are discounted. Okay? Everything is cheaper till Sunday, November 20th. After that, you can still register, right? Yep. But it's going to be more expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And the VIP ends on December 15th, so you can get it after December 15th.
Yeah.
Now, the other thing is, like, maybe you should want to tell people the price of the regular rate so they know how much they're saving. Like, the VIP bundle goes from $125 to $165. So if you get it before next Sunday, the 20th, you're going to save $40.
Right, yeah. And then, like I said, that date on that room for $159, like AJ said, I mean, I've never stayed there, but $159 a night is real cheap at Moody Gardens, and that expires December 29th, 22. So
it's a 4-star hotel.
It's
nice, really nice, really clean. Anything else?
Okay, so Ryan Baustring, he's asking if he can just buy the jersey. And yes, so when you go to Eventbrite, there's a section that it says add-ons. So you can buy the jersey separately if you just want to buy the jersey.
Yeah, if you just want to buy, like JJ said, if you just want to buy the hat, if you get it before the VIP rate expires, the hat's going to be $20. After that, the day of the event, it'll be $30. The jersey is going to be $40, and it'll be, if you wait to the day of the event, it'll be $50. The tumbler is going to be $25 before the VIP. If you wait to the day of the event, it'll be $35.
Yeah, and the jersey can only be customized till December 15th. So if you're getting it at the event, it won't have any name. It will just be the
a standardized jersey. Yeah.
Yeah.
And is the price the same for a custom jersey as it is on the sheet? Or is it more for a custom jersey?
No, so the jersey is the same price, but that's the cool thing. So if you're getting it before the 20th, you're not only getting the same price as everybody else, but you also get it to put your name on it.
Yeah, because if you get it at the event, it's just going to be, it'll probably just say Buffalo on there or not say nothing at all. So once we figure it out, but so if you want it more personalized with your last name, guys, get in before that discount rate expires. So you can be walking around with your last name on the back of the jersey. We'll have...
Or any name, for that matter. It's funny because most people want to put something else. They'll, have weird names.
Yeah, it could be a nickname. It could be anything. So, like I said, I mean, if you want to just personalize it and make it your own jersey, like I said, get in there. I mean, and get it for, like I said, $10 cheaper than actually from the day of the event.
Yeah, and also we have Chris Lambert and Chris Ziegler asking about the Griezmann. So the Griezmann is just sort of like the hat and the jersey. I mean, you're just getting a Griezmann. It's a really cool Griezmann that says, I played at the Vapolo Cash Bash. And that's only for the VIP registration. So if you don't get the VIP registration, you won't get that Griezmann. And the regular registration just gives you like a regular black Griezmann. But no, you don't get anything with the wristband besides just getting the wristband, you know.
Okay.
And Ruben Medina, he's asking, if you sign up and register but find out you can go last minute, are we out of luck and out of the money? So the way we have it set up is case-by-case basis, you know. We're sort of trusting everybody, you know, that if you're registering, you're signing up. Remember, the cash prize basically comes from everybody, from people signing up, you know?
Right.
So if you can go, we could probably give you a refund, but we're going to do it on a case-by-case basis. So if you actually need to, like, get a refund, you'll have to email us and sort of, like, explain to us what's going on, and we're going to treat it on a case-by-case basis. Because, again, everybody who's, like, buying a plane ticket and buying the registration, they're counting on everybody else, you know, registering so they can actually get some prices from it, you know. Mm-hmm. So sort of like keep that in mind.
Yeah, again, guys, like I mentioned earlier, all the prizes that I mentioned earlier are tentative, just depending on how many teams and how many players we get. Obviously, the more teams, the more we can actually for sure and guarantee that this is the amount that we're going to pay out, or even possibly even more. I mean, who knows? But all
right. Could be more, but just to say this too, the first place tier one is guaranteed.
Yeah,
guaranteed. So that is guaranteed. Yeah, that's, for sure. Mm-hmm. But everything else, whether it increases or not, is based off the however many, you know, applicants we have that actually sign up and come through.
Yeah, good point, AJ.
But to what JJ said, absolutely, everything's gonna be a case by case basis. We understand that stuff happens all the time. We're human, but at the end of the day, you know, make sure if you know long ahead of time that you cannot make it, well before, it's better to let us know when you know instead of last minute, because it'll be hard once we do a bracket and once we have everything generated, it'll be hard to be able to do something like that. So everything will be case-by-case basis, and, man, I'm excited about this.
Yeah, Anthony, you got anything else, man, before we head out?
I don't. The only thing I have, not on topic of the Cash Bash, is tomorrow is Veterans Day. If all of our listeners could do me a favor, reach out just to one veteran. Just ask them how their day is going. That would mean the world to them.
Oh, ask Gilmore.
All right, appreciate you.
Tomorrow, everybody's going to be asking Anthony.
So I know.
How's your day going?
Anthony, I'm not going to see you tomorrow, so how's your day today?
Good, since I get to see you.
Hey, good deal, man. All right, well, hey, this concludes our Buffalo Bash. You know, I want to say, as I do every episode, shout out to JJ for everything he does behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. Andrea with the help today, you know, kind of helping produce. My co-host Jaime, my co-host Anthony, And we're going to leave you with this. So a great man once said, the measure of who we are is what we do with what we have. Peace out, Buffalo Nation.
Right, see ya.